Welcome in, everyone, to Flyover Footy, presented by Noble Ice Vineyards. My name is Matt Baker, here for another midweek edition where we look at city news and give an MLS roundup, looking at some of the top matches from this past week and give a big picture of how other teams around St. Louis City SC are performing, especially in the Western Conference. But first, there's some city news to address this week, and we're going to start with a bit of info brought to our attention by Chris Gebhardt with St. Louis Soccer News. Bradley Carnell was a guest on the football show on Sirius XM on Tuesday morning, where he gave the following bits of information. As they view the season in five-game blocks, they're about 4 points below where they really feel they should be. Carnell noted that while they're happy with how their style of play is evolving and how their on-the-ball abilities are, they want to stay true to their roots of pressing and counterattacking to remain clinical and press the ball appropriately. Carnell interestingly noted that they had a meeting with the strikers before Austin to work on some spacing issues and credited that as a reason leading to the Klaus goal versus Austin FC. Now on to our report from City's Tuesday training, which has garnered quite a bit of attention online, to say the least. Bradley Carnell spoke about the complete victory against Austin and how it built off of the FC Dallas match, as well as highlighting certain players, but he had so many good things to say about so many different players that he hesitated to highlight one more than another. From the back line, the right side with Tautlin and Alm, Klaus and Indy spacing up top, and plenty more. Then we had a series of individual player comments from Carnell, starting off with a question I asked Coach Carnell about Indiana Vasilev, as he's played every single match that City has participated in so far.
See that he brings differently, that is one of those requirements to stay on the field.
Yeah, he has a left foot. That helps. So sometimes when we play with inverted wingers, or sometimes in the last game against Dallas, we had him on the left-hand side. So just game planning, and Indy's a smart soccer player. You know, he knows and what's required when we give him different tactical profiles or jobs, descriptions to do on the day and different game plans. So first of all, it's the game intelligence, and then his technical abilities, and then, you know, plays with a broken nose in Austin, and plays with a broken wrist, and then plays with a broken finger. And then, so the rest you can, you know, come to your own conclusions, you know, why Indy gets minutes, because, you know, he's not just a good soccer player, he gives everything for the team.
From there, the focus shifted to Sam Adeniran, who was out of the matchday roster versus Austin and was not at training on Tuesday. Here's the video of what Coach Carnell said had to say on Sam, which came immediately following the question on Indy.
Right on what you said on Sunday?
Yeah, right now we're focusing on with the guys who, you know, bring a certain standard, intensity, work ethic in trainings, and those players will get rewarded, you know, and Sam, up until further notice, will be training on his own.
After the comments on Sam, it was interesting to hear what Carnell had to say regarding Edu Leuven, who continues to rehab his hamstring injury, but was also not available Sunday and not at training on Tuesday. Carnell said Edu, quote, has a couple of things going on, and we're trying to give him the space needed and also progress his body the right way. Edu, for me, the first important thing in my pillar of beliefs is the person. Coach Carnell went on to say he has all the time and space he needs. It's certainly an interesting turn of events the past couple of weeks, and what this means overall for Sam in particular remains to be seen. There's plenty of ways to look at this, and we're going to have a more in-depth conversation on them this Thursday in our big weekly pod. But as City looks to build off their win against Austin and head into the first of three rivalry weeks against Sporting KC, let's turn to look at some of those top matches in MLS this past weekend. There were five interesting matches that I'm pulling out. We had three this week that ended in a 0-0 draw, including Red Bulls Fire, Sounders Dallas, and RSL Crew. But for this look, we're going to look at what, start off with what I'd consider the most important in the West and end with the most interesting. LA Galaxy 3, Vancouver Whitecaps 1. This was a battle of the top two teams in the West. The goals were scored by Dejan Jovalich, kicking it off in the second half at 56 minutes with a goal assisted by Gabriel Peck. Brian White tied it at 77 minutes for Vancouver, assisted by Ryan Gauld, before LA turned on the burners at 80 and 82 with goals scored by Joseph Paintsill from Ricky Puig, and then Diego Fagundes from both Paintsill and Puig were enough to put it away. Vancouver's 3-4-3 formation proved pretty ineffective against the wide attack that Paintsill and Peck can provide. LA Galaxy took nearly 60% possession in this matchup, though Vancouver did outshoot them 18-12 and 7-5 in shots on goal, and also in XG 2.8-2. LA Galaxy is just that dangerous of a team who creates high-quality chances even if they aren't setting the world on fire with their volume. Notable league-wide across the board here is that despite the loss, Vancouver still has the best goal differential in the league at plus 6, one ahead of Galaxy, Miami, Philadelphia, and Atlanta United. The LA Galaxy actually lead in a stat called PSXG minus GA, which is post-shot expected goals minus goals allowed. This is the measure of how likely the goalkeeper is to save the shot after it's taken. St. Louis led the league last year in this category, currently sitting middle of the pack now with a plus 1.1, while the LA Galaxy have plus 3.8, showing just how effective they are at actual shot stopping. After all of that, LA Galaxy climb atop the West on 15 points, while Vancouver remains even on 13, tied for second with Houston. Next, we look at Portland Timbers LAFC that was a 2-2 draw. It was a back-and-forth match defined by a red card to Portland to start the second half. Felipe Mora scored just 11 minutes in, assisted by Evander to give Portland the lead. Mateus Bogus then tied it by scoring for LAFC in the 22nd minute from Timothy Tillman. Then Evander equalized for Portland just 12 minutes later with an assist from Juan Mosquera. And the final goal was scored in the 51st minute, following the Timbers going down a man when Mateus Bogus earned his brace off a free kick outside the box after Timbers goalkeeper Maxime Crépeau was given a red card on a very questionable tackle. This match saw 8 yellow cards in addition to the red. Bogus had his brace, and despite dominating a lot of key categories like shots, shots on goal, passes, crosses, aerial duels, and XG, LAFC were not able to find a match-winning goal. LAFC now sits tied second best in expected goals in the league behind DC United and has the most shots and shots on target with 139 and 61 respectively. They are also the only team with more key passes than St. Louis. They have 104 to St. Louis's 97. After taking a point, LAFC falls to sixth in the West with 11 points, tied with both St. Louis City and Minnesota United, while Portland sits 10th in the West, tied with Austin FC. Next, we look at Colorado Rapids and their 3-0 win over the San Jose Earthquake. San Jose continues their free fall in the first quarter of this season. Goals were scored by Rafael Navarro, Colorado's number 9, as he scored a brace with goals at 10 and 60 minutes. The second assisted by Cole Bassett, and then Navarro returned the favor at 80 minutes, assisting Cole Bassett himself, providing the nail in the coffin for San Jose. All three of these were scored in different ways, too. Navarro with a PK to start, a throw-in that led to the second goal, and then an open play transition pass in the final third for the final goal. San Jose dominated possession at home with near 60% and pulled a St. Louis against Dallas by leading in shots 24-16 and shots on goal 6-3, yet Colorado won the XG battle 3-2.2, showing what St. Louis fans saw recently that volume without quality does not quite get the job done. After the loss, San Jose earns the honor of having the worst goal differential in the league at minus 10, 10 goals scored, 20 goals allowed. San Jose has also dropped their third straight game, and Colorado is now unbeaten in their last three. San Jose is last in the West with just 3 points total, while Colorado coming into this season, having expected to be performing slightly better than last year after so many notable signings, is now fifth in the West on 12 points, just 1 point better than St. Louis. Next up, Houston Dynamo 2, Minnesota United 1. By all accounts, a game that Minnesota United should have won. The dreaded own goal started it off with Minnesota United's Alejandro Braun putting it in his own net, giving Houston the lead at 38 minutes. It wasn't until the 70th minute that Minnesota equalized with a Franco Fragapane goal from Robin Lode and Will Trapp, but it was short-lived on their lead as just 7 minutes later, Sebastian Kovacic scored for Houston from Amin Bassi and Artur, which would prove to be enough for the win. Minnesota continues to play without their DP playmaker, Emmanuel Reynoso, but despite that, they had 6 players with at least 3 shots, leading to outshooting Houston 23-7 and 7-2 in shots on goal. Houston appearing lucky to pull this one out with not only own goal, but also losing the XG battle 2.4 from Minnesota United to just 0.4 from Houston. The Dynamo do jump to the top of the possession numbers in MLS after this match, leading even Inter Miami now with 58.4% average possession per game so far. Houston also climbs to tied second in the West, like I mentioned earlier, with Vancouver, while Minnesota falls tied sixth with the aforementioned LAFC and our St. Louis City SC at 11 points after being winless in their last three. Finally, we look at the match of the week, Inter Miami 3, Sporting KC 2. In front of 72,610 fans, it was the largest crowd to watch a soccer game in Missouri and the fourth largest standalone crowd in MLS history. And presumably, 70,000 of those fans went home happy with the result of Inter Miami winning. For the goals, it was the second straight match where Sporting KC gets out in front but loses the lead. Eric Tommy started it off at 6 minutes from Tim Leopold, but it was Miami with the next two. First at 18 from Diego Gomez, assisted by Lionel Messi and Julian Gressel. And then in the second half at 51 minutes, Messi somehow breaks free of SKC's defense to find space and score a frozen rope of a shot from David Ruiz. Eric Tommy completes his brace at 58 from Daniel Shallowy to even it before Luis Suarez scores the eventual match winner for Inter Miami at 71 minutes from Diego Gomez. Possession was in Miami's favor, no question about this, as they're second in the league in the average possession, 60% in this match. We saw 10 shots each from Miami having the advantage in shots on target 6-3, though expected goals was about even, 1.2 to 1.3 also. And while shots might have been near even, Miami did use their possession to control most of the momentum as they have been accustomed to all season long. Inter Miami remains the leader in goals scored with 19 compared to 11 for St. Louis, assists with 17, St. Louis has just 6, and SKC is second in the league in that PSXG minus GA stat that I mentioned earlier, with a plus 3 indicating that Tim Melia has been performing pretty outstanding in individual shot-stopping opportunities against good quality shots. Very notable going into next weekend. In the standings, Miami remains top of the East with 15 points, tied with the New York Red Bulls, while SKC drops to 9th in the West, just below St. Louis with 10 points total. Looking at the standings and how St. Louis fits into things, St. Louis sits 8th place total in the West, 8th most goals scored in the West, and 6th most goals conceded. That's good for the 10th best overall goal differential. In the standings, your Eastern Conference leaders right now are Inter Miami and New York Red Bulls with 15 points, Philadelphia Union, Columbus Crew with 13, FC Cincinnati with 12, Atlanta United and Charlotte with 11, CF Montreal and Toronto FC with 10, as well as DC United just outside that playoff picture tied with 10 as well. In the West, we've talked about most of them, but the LA Galaxy lead things with 15 points. Vancouver and Houston sit below them with 13. Real Salt Lake, Colorado Rapids tied with 12 points. LAFC, Minnesota United, and St. Louis City on 11. Sporting KC with 10, and then at single digits from there, Portland, Austin, Seattle, Dallas, and San Jose. Looking at the team stat leaders and where City stacks up on this, overall shots, St. Louis is third in the entire league with 115 behind LAFC and DC United. Shots on target, City is 10th in the MLS with 31. And expected goals, we're sitting 9th in MLS with 9.9 behind teams like LAFC, the Galaxy, and RSL in the West. And there you have it. The key games, key takeaways, and perspective for where City sits after their 8 matches played in MLS, as well as some interesting topics of conversation that are going to permeate for quite a while in the St. Louis City fan base. And don't worry, we will dig so deep into them in this upcoming Flyover Footy recorded Thursday night that will be out on podcast Friday morning with our full preview of the Derby match, SKC against St. Louis City. For now, thank you for joining me on Flyover Footy's midweek edition. I'm Matt Baker, and we'll talk to you later.